And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's Marvelous, Monumental, Most Fascinating, Massively Mind-Bending Monday as we join our hearts and minds as one, drawing closer to the King of Kings and glorifying his name. First, we delve into Genesis. By the way, a term signifying origin. Wow. Moses is traditionally considered the author of Genesis, despite his existence much later. Many scholars attribute his accurate writing for the book of Genesis to his profound relationship with God. The central theme of Genesis encompasses creation, sin, and recreation, which spans the first 11 chapters. The subsequent chapters, 12 through 50, highlight God's intention to establish a fellowship of people who would uphold their faith in him and be true to his words. Next, while we can't fully do justice to this book, one must appreciate the first four words. In the beginning, God. It's as clear as it can be. It wasn't science, math, matter, molecules, atoms, oxygen, or anything else in the beginning, nor was it Buddha, Muhammad, Krishna. It was God. The best we can comprehend about his infinite existence is that he always was, always is, and always will be. Yet another idea that is beyond our actual grasp. And finally, let's examine what the very beginning tells us. God initiated creation by forming the heavens and the earth. The Spirit of God hovered over the earth to shape it. The first command issued by God was, "Let there be light." And so it was. When God speaks, it comes into being. And he then distinguishes between light and darkness.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Wow. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities. Noi vey. So much more. Remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can email us during the show, so that's kind of cool. David@hemustincrease.org. That's David@hemustincrease.org. You can text us. Yes, back to texts. Yay! Live during the show, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Ooh! Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you make that call to 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like knowing your spiritual radio family has your back. That's what makes it good. So here's how we do the show. Here's our thinking process, the best that we get it, okay? Hebrews 10:25, encouraging one another as we see the day getting closer. Being a blessing and strengthening one another, fulfilling what Jesus said. Here's a new commandment I give you, love one another. By this love shall all men know you are my disciples. It's like it's a witness, it's a testimony, it's the obedience to Jesus Christ, and it's opportunity to love one another, and it's absolutely Christ-like. And that's what we all want to have, and they all want to be operating in. You want to know why he didn't take you? He's using you to reflect him. Why didn't he just take me when I said yes? Because he's using you to reflect him to others. That's why. You're a mirror of the Lord. And so in that process, we give you the opportunity. You can have a praise report, and we love praise reports because it just encourages people. Don't worry about saying it right. Let's see. We're going to have 1,200 shows in Dallas on the 8th of December. It'll be 1,200 shows. And then we do 1,250 shows in San Diego. So out of 2,450 shows, I have never done a single show where I did not make an error. Not one time. Ever. Just so that you know, it's not about saying it right. It's about God making it right. See that right there? See, that's a good one, right? Like that one. Right. Here's the bottom line. Ready? You might have a praise report. You might have a prayer request. Or you might have an answer to Bible trivia out of our new book on Bible trivia. Here we go. Let's see if you can get this, okay? Why did Herod the Tetrarch have John the Baptist put to death? John's disciples had threatened Herod. Number two, was it Herod's niece requested his death? Or number three, was John bootlegging wild honey and Herod had to take him out? So, was it John's disciples that are threatening Herod? Was it Herod's niece requested his death? Or was John bootlegging wild honey? That's right, folks. I didn't write it, but it is kind of funny, you got to admit. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we just want to make sure you know what we're saying. Why did Herod put John to death? Was it because John's disciples were threatening Herod? Was it because the niece requested it? Herod's niece requested it? Or was it because John was bootlegging wild honey? That's so funny. All right, we have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, happy Thanksgiving. This is your little brother.
Hello, little brother. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. All right, ready? You get ready to set this up, set it up for you. She should knock it out of the park. Here we go. Here we go. Right now, bro. Here we go.
Oh, okay.
Why did Herod have John the Baptist put to death? Is it because John's disciples were threatening Herod? Is it because Herod's niece requested his death? Or is it because John was bootlegging wild honey?
Because Herod's stepdaughter asked.
And his niece. We'd call her a niece. The niecey meecey. So it's correct. We're going to say yes. There were so many other funny answers, but I just thought John bootlegging wild honey, that's just hilarious. Sorry. How was your Thanksgiving, bro?
Good. It was quiet at home, so.
Good.
Yeah, it was fine.
That's
relaxing.
Good. How are things in general?
Things are okay. Just pray. Like somehow I'm just feeling lack of energy. So just pray for me that God will restore my strength.
So you're kind of feeling lack physically, or is it physical, spiritual, emotional?
I would say all of them.
Got it. I know exactly what's going on. All right, let's pray. Let's bring it before the Lord and ask for help.
Sure.
Father, we come before you right now. We love our brother. We ask you to bless him and encourage him. Lord, he's praying for people. He's trying to, you know, fight the good fight in spiritual warfare. And that can be draining. It can be draining mentally. It can be draining emotionally. It can be draining physically. It can be draining in so many different ways. And that can be discouraging, Lord. And that type of drain, that type of element has a tendency to bring us down. But, Lord, your presence, your anointing, your gracefulness, your commitment brings us right back up. And when the enemy takes our joy, and sometimes we let him, we need to come right back into your presence and right back into worship and right back into praise and right back into you with the fullness of faith that enables us to say yes and amen. Why so downcast, O my soul? Put your hope in God. That's what you teach us. We ask you just to bless our brother with that truth and the actualization of that truth to lift him up. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen.
Thank you, brother.
And I look forward to hear more these funny trivia questions.
Wait, there's one coming up that's a classic. That's all I can tell you.
Okay.
Great job, brother. Love you, bro.
Thank you, brother. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
God bless. Bye-bye. Okay. All right, so I've told everybody we do have that new trivia book we're operating with. Checking it out. It give me a little while. I gotta, you know, it's, you can't just pick it up and have it be perfect. My phone is working, and it looks like I'm getting everybody's text. So let me say hello to everybody. I might not text everybody on the way home today. You gotta be a little patient on that. Easton update. I gave you that. We do want to do our DNA, and then we're gonna get a Jake's take. And then by then we'll probably break and then come back into Genesis. And there's so much to cover. Just here's my first admonition in regards to Genesis. Take a deep breath. It's 50 chapters long. Okay, it took us 2 years to do Job. So just think of that. Okay, great, awesome. All right, let's do our DNA first because that's really essential. D stands for draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. Every day that ends in Y, spend some time with the guy in the sky. And if you don't, you'll end up where you cry. I mean, come on. You don't want to be crying all day. You want to be spending time with the Lord. The Lord will give you the strength. He's not shy. He doesn't have the, oh, I don't know if I have enough to spare. I mean, come on. Your Father is generous and just waiting for you to come and spend time with him. So draw closer to the Lord daily. That's D. N. Never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never. How, when? Never. 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 Luke 9:26. If you're ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you on the day that I return. It's like, nope, 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 nope. Never be ashamed of what Jesus is saying. And just be honest. You might not understand everything. I know people who go, well, you must not understand everything. No, I don't. I have never met a single human being that understood everything except for God himself who wrote the book. But what I know is his word has never failed, ever. Good enough. I'll stand in that. And then A, that says D, N, and A, always be ready.
To serve.
To serve, which is our way of fulfilling that which Jesus put into our lives. Carry one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Get involved in other people's lives, whether it's through this radio show, which is cool, but you can do it at your church, which you should be doing it at your church, and you carry other people's burdens, get involved in their life, and then you find out that as you add other people's lives into your life, God synergistically gives you more life. And then you find out abundant life. And it's a great way to process the whole system is that more joy, more happiness, more faith, more peace becomes a part of you as you care about others more. That's how you were designed by God. And that, by the way, is our true DNA. So I do want to say this, and let me do this. We're going to do Jake's take on the return because we spent a lot of time doing this, and I want to say this about Genesis, and I don't want to go too far, too weird, too bizarre or anything, but I want you to understand that when it says in the beginning, it doesn't mean, well, kind of in the beginning. It means, get this, ready? Okay, just wait, hold on. In the beginning. So when people do this thing and they go, well, okay, but before there was this nothingness. And I'm just going to say this about people who are really committed to the concept of the theory of evolution and so on and so forth. The primary element there, which not one of them will simply acknowledge, is every single one of them will say, in the very beginning, there was nothing. Now, wait. Then something happened. So just so we can be on the same page, because I can't stand this. This is called reasoning, right? You can't have nothing and then something happen from nothing. See, that is a fantasy. In the beginning, God. So you get the agency of what happened in the very beginning because God actually existed before the beginning of time, whereas in an evolutionary concept, the problem there is that there was nothing and then there was something, and nobody will tell you what the agency is that went from nothing to something. That makes no sense. Nothing, bing, something. Wait, how'd that happen? It can't. So when we talk about God being in the beginning, before all the brilliance of all the people who have all the brains in the world, they're wrong compared to God. And to be really honest, we're not that bright. But God just puts up with us and smiles and says, I love you anyway, ding-dongs. Anyhow, what we're going to do is we're going to take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
I did what most Christian men would do when they make a mistake. It's their fault. There's nothing but humiliation on your face, and you're trying to recover in the moment. And you know what I did? I blamed it on every possible unseen force except for myself.
You have chosen wisely.
So guess who knocked that crystal light on that white carpet? It was Satan, by golly. Well, it was at that moment, because it certainly wasn't my fault. I didn't knock the crystal light all over. It was my glass. I did pour it. I did bring it to the table. And somehow fell on the carpet and spread everywhere. And by golly, I wasn't going to take the blame for it, because that would be taking personal responsibility. Well, I'm not taking personal responsibility. After all, that $500 deposit we just had that we were hoping to get back when we move out is already down to $200. And it was dropping by the dollar as the stuff was spreading. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Get ready for your next trivia question, which is going to be followed by us sending you up to the website, because I haven't done that yet, and we're out of money. It's simple.
We don't need money. Don't need money. That's how it goes.
Okay. That's what happens when you have those couple of days off and you don't ask for money. I know, it's so weird. But you know what? Yep, we're just going to keep trusting the Lord. The Lord will help us. And if the Lord puts it upon you to help out, great. And if he doesn't, don't worry about it. We'll just do our best. We'll pray that it's blessed and let Jesus take care of the rest. Here's your next trivia question. Don't tell me this isn't a classic. Jesus told Peter that Peter was the rock on which he would build his church. Then he said he would give Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven, all knowledge, or a new Ford Taurus. That he would give Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven, all knowledge, or a new Ford Taurus. What did Jesus commit? So we do have people that are responding. You have that opportunity to respond. Here is what I want you to know. We're still going to send you up to the website. You have a chance to call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Here's the thing on the website that we're sending you up to. There's tons of cool stuff on the website, encouraging stuff. There's prayer request forms and praise report forms, plus access to all of the podcasts and everything else. Plus, there's a place to give. And if you put the Lord puts it on your heart you want to give, we can use it. Every time somebody gives, not only am I thankful, and do we praise the Lord for that, but it keeps the ministry going. That's what we're trying to do. Our scripture today, 2 Corinthians 9:6-7, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly, never do it reluctantly, not under compulsion, never be manipulated to give. For God loves a cheerful giver. Make sure as a giver, your heart is smiling, knowing that you're giving it unto the Lord. Check all this stuff out on the website, please, hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
hemustincrease.org.
hemustincrease.org.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
I'm sorry. I find that to be rather amusing. I don't know what it is. It's just funny.
Me too.
That's just good. This is classic. All right. Somebody's ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David. This is Will Rogers.
Hello, Will Rogers. How are you, sir?
It's cold today, but I hope you're doing better.
I'm doing wonderful. I don't mind the cold, but I will tell you, this morning it was cold.
It was cold.
I was like, oh, that caught me off guard. But it's still, I like it. I like the change of pace. So how was your Thanksgiving, by the way, brother?
Very thankful.
Ah, love it. That's the best answer there is, because it's the right answer. Right? That's the right answer. All right, my brother. Let me set it up for you, and I'll let you knock it out of the park. Here we go. Jesus told Peter that Peter was the rock on which he would build his church. Then he said he would give Peter the keys to, number one, the kingdom of heaven, number two, all knowledge, and number three, a new Ford Taurus.
Well, I don't think it was a Ford. They weren't building them back then. It was the keys to the kingdom.
That is correct, Amundo! Keys to the kingdom of heaven. That is exactly right. And you think, because remember, I'm reading this out of a book. You at least would have thought they would have said, like, a Lamborghini or something. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But they go in there with a, we'll give you a Ford Taurus. Like, really? That's what you're going to give me? Anyhow, excellent. Excellent job. Excellent job, my brother. All well? Can we be praying for you on anything?
All's great, but one comment. I don't think he told Peter that he was the rock. I think he told Peter that the rock that it was going to be built on was the faith in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Yeah, and that's a really good point. That's something I probably should have made a distinction in the book. So when he's talked to Peter, Peter is Petra, and the rock that he's was building on was Petros, or was the other way? Petros, one of the way. It's one way or the other way. One of them is a rock, and the other one is a rock bed. So, like, we know what rock beds are because when you drive and you have to absorb water, there's a whole bunch of rocks underneath the screens to absorb the water. That's what he's referring to when he makes reference to on this rock. It's the bed of rocks, not just a single rock. And ultimately, it's the confession of faith in Christ. So that is an excellent Absolutely. Point. Thank you for saying that. I appreciate that.
Yes, sir. And you have a blessed day, sir.
You too. God bless, bro. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. All right. We're going to run a little long because I want to do 500 different things. That's what happens when you go away for a couple days. I'm sorry. That's how it goes. I do want to do Jake's Take. And the reason I want to do Jake's Take is because there was a up and down for Davey over the weekend. So we'll talk about that. Let's do Jake's Take. All right, I'll give you the roll. What do you got for me on Jake's Take?
So I was right on 2 out of 3 out of the Thanksgiving games. Unfortunately, the one I was wrong on was the morning game with your Detroit Lions losing to the Packers.
First of all, I'll tell you all now, since my son-in-law's from Green Bay. Mm-hmm. It just breaks me up here. That my grandchildren recorded a video for Grandpa. They got on the video. This is not a joke. Really happened. I have the video. And they all went, "The Lions are losers!" I mean, that's the entire video. It was just, like, so brutal. Second, I wasn't surprised because that was the same Lions I'd been seeing for 35 years on the Thanksgiving Day. It was pretty sad.
Yeah, when I was watching it, I was thinking, well, even the good Lions teams, the Thanksgiving tradition continues with them losing on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, so they did lose. However, my secondary team, the Dallas Cowboys, wow.
Yep. The Cowboys played Washington later that day and end up winning 45-10. It was close for a little bit, but it wasn't long into it.
They look stellar. I mean, they do look great. And then I will say, and some people might not like it, and I don't care, but Michigan did beat Ohio State, so yes. I'm very, very happy about that.
I was pulling for Michigan, so I was happy about that.
And then finally, I'll just say this, and I won't make any more comments, but that was a great job on Jake's take. I watched that one play between Philadelphia and Buffalo or New York or whichever team?
Yeah, Buffalo last night.
Yeah, Buffalo, where he horse-collared the guy and didn't get called, and it was like, that was the worst no-call I've seen in years.
Mm-hmm.
That was terrible. But anyhow, that's what's going on, so we'll see. Dallas, though, keeps marching on. And by the way, Detroit's still in first place, so it's not over yet. So
yep,
we'll
just
see
one
what
loss.
Happens. Okay, we'll see what happens. All right, to the text we go, people, to the Word of God. And we'll go a few extra minutes, and then we'll figure out our timing and everything else. Here's what you got in the Word of God, okay? Now, I know there's so many ways that this can be taught, and I don't want to get caught in every nuance. I want to try and do the best to really communicate this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. So the reason I want to start there and not go anywhere else is because I know we're going to, though not today, discuss, well, is it 24 hours literal? Is it the solar this? Is it this? Is this? And it's like, here's the thing you have to remember about Scripture. God is communicating his message to us. You do not choose to not fellowship with somebody because they see something like this different. This is not a doctrine about salvation by grace. This is a doctrine of, was there a 24-hour period in all of those, and how could that be if on the fourth day the sun and moon was created and there were no 24-hour periods? Here's my ultimate response. You can't let that be an issue of fellowship, but clearly God wanted us to understand it in the principle of the 24-hour element, since that's the way it breaks down and it's referred to 25 times throughout the rest of Scripture. Was it an actual? I don't know. Does it matter? Not to me. I mean, I know what God wanted to create. This is what he set up. He said day by day. That's the pattern we're supposed to use. And then we'll get to the seventh day he rested, and there's a purpose for that, a witness from God. That is missing so much. Here's what you have to understand. God didn't think in his brain, as evidenced in Scripture, I want to create a planet. And because I'm going to create a planet, I need somebody to take care of it. I don't really care about those people. They're just landscapers, but, you know, whatever. I want my planet to be taken care of. That was not the purpose of the creation of Earth. That was not the purpose of the creation of heaven. In fact, the entire process of Genesis is because God wanted to have a relationship with beings that they can make an independent decision, though he would still know it being omniscient, to follow and to connect to him. Everything you read in Genesis, everything you read in Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and every other one of the 61 remaining books in the Bible is about God wanting to have a relationship with an entity that is of his image, but independent. And you come up with all the things, and everybody's got all these theories and all this stuff, and it's like, God wanted to hang out with us. And the tragedy is that Genesis shows the creation, and then after the creation, it shows as the human elements take the representative position, the entrance of sin, and then it shows a recreation. And in the very beginning, and you should note this, and I want to make sure we understand this, it's very important for you and I to understand, the first 11 chapters focuses on this, that there's creation, recreation, creation, sin, and then recreation. And then chapters 12 through 50 focus on the specifics of the fellowship of the people that God wants to hang out with. This is the purpose of Genesis. If a Martian came down with a book from Mars, people would be like, oh, you got to get the book from Martian. Well, way past a Martian has given us a book and given us the testimony of what it's all about. And chapters 1 through 11 are the creation, sin, and recreation. And 12 through 50 are all about God saying, you're the people I want, that I've put my name amongst, that I want to fellowship with for all eternity. And to minimize Genesis to anything other than that, or to not fellowship with another one of God's believers because you don't understand that, is simply divisive, unstable, and unlearned. God wanted to hang out with us. When left alone, we blow it. When God does the recreation and gives extra help, we get there. And here's what I want you to catch. You and I had to be recreated, which is why we were born again. There's a testimony to our entire process right in the book of Genesis. It's pretty cool. I mean, you got to admit. All right, we'll take a short break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
Like any person searching for answers, I too have wondered about him. He has a weird sense of humor. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. Those big ears really don't help. Will people enjoy his perspective on culture, politics, food, sports, and local and national news? I don't know. He's just a client. Tune in to the David Spoon Experience on KAAM.
What is the purpose of human creation? God was bored and wanted a Tinker toy set to play with. He wanted a Petri dish to look at so he can go, Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As opposed to the mindset that says, well, this whole thing is a divine experiment. The Lord was bored. Impossible to be bored if you're not stuck by time, by the way. Oh, you didn't think of that, right? Because he's not bound by time. The purpose of human creation ultimately is four words. Here we go. The purpose of creation for humanity? To fellowship with God.
The David Spoon Experience, weekdays at 2 on 770 KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where it's 12:35 in San Diego, 2:35 in Dallas, and some other time if you're on the moon. If you guys did not hear that, fill, I'm just at, you just don't understand. I have zero to do with the fills. This program, the teaching on it was set up weeks ago. If the Lord would allow me not to get, you know, like if he allows me to keep the pace going. And what was that on that fill that we just heard? Genesis 1:1 about the purpose being fellowshipping with mankind, which I just talked about before we went to the break. So you cannot make this stuff up. I mean, even, you know, sitting there, Jacob and I are like going, what does Jennifer know that we don't know? It's like, that is so weird. Okay, well, it's cool, but we'll leave it there. All right, here's your triv question. Again, while we're doing the trivia question, we are, in fact, going to send you up to the website again. I'll just do it a little quicker than I did last time. Here it is. Jesus told his followers they could move mountains if they had the faith the size of a mustard seed, their heart, or a golf ball. That's right. That's what it says. I'm just reading it. I know. What do you want me to do?
It's definitely a golf ball because golf was a thing back then.
Jesus told his followers they could move mountains if they had the faith the size of a mustard seed, the size of their heart, or a golf ball. Yeah. Okay, if you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. Don't tell me that's not funny. That's hilarious. 214-210-8483 as well. You can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Again, I'm going to send you up to the website, not because I'm trying to manipulate you or anything else. We just need funds. That's just what it is. We have radio rent that's due tomorrow. Got all these different things. And let me say something. I love that everybody, we've been doing this for 4.5 years, getting close to, you know, in March it'll be 5 years. We love it. But it's up to the Lord and up to everybody, myself and you included, just to keep it going. If the Lord wants it to keep going, great. If he doesn't, it's fine to him. It's fine. We follow the Lord. If you can give, great. If can't, don't worry about it. Please pray for us, though. You got to do that. If you want to give, do so on the website. If you can't do it there, you can always contact me personally. Check it all out on hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
What a classic. Okay, somebody is ready to answer a trivia question, so let's send them on through. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David, it's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah, how are you?
I'm good. I tuned in late to the show. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was decent. I spent a little bit extra time working on my phone. Because the phone went out and then I had to have it replaced. So they sent it and I'm sitting there on Thursday and Friday going, is that the right app? Is that the right app? Is that the right fill-in? Is that the right fill-in? So that was interesting, but it was still, Thanksgiving overall was great. It's always great because Noelle's a great cook and that always, you know, works in my favor.
All right.
She's a great cook. I'm a good eater. So that works out really good. How was your Thanksgiving, by the way? How'd you get, what was
it for was, you? It was very good, and I'm a good eater also.
Ah, there we go. See that? Love that. Love that. And my worst part is, I do some weird things to the stuffing, but I have Noelle put in like raisins and different like sweet little fruit in there because I'm weird. So I'm just letting you know.
Oh, well, that actually sounds kind of interesting.
It is. It's a lot better than people think. I'll say that. All right, let's do the question, and then I'll give you the break. Here we go. Jesus told his followers they could move mountains if they had the faith the size of either a mustard seed, their heart, or a golf ball.
A mustard seed.
That is correct, Amundo! Of course. You know, people both think it's the size of their heart. It's like, no, it's not. It's still, you just need a mustard seed. It's just a little itty bitty seed that does a lot. And it's not a golf ball. Wisely spoken by Jacob saying, they had a lot of golf back then. Okay, yeah, got it.
All right. Well, excellent. Thank you, and y'all have a good afternoon.
All right, God bless you.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Always a delight. Okay, always a delight to hear from Deborah. Okay, going back to the text. Let's look at this. Now, here, listen. Here's the big thing I want you to get. Okay, there's two really cool, important points. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass, cloaked in darkness. So right there, there's this theology that says, well, God would never create something that's empty, so on and so forth. And the flip side or the argument against that is when he made man, he still had to breathe into man the breath of life. So without that breath, man was kind of useless too. So yes and no. There's no point in freaking out on the tahu and bahu words in the Hebrew, but I understand the argument. I don't have a problem with that. Stuff like that's fun. It says this. And the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface, and then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So there's two things I want you to get. In the beginning, God. So I had this experience, and I've told you about it before, only once, and it was kind of a weird experience, but when I was, it was probably 21, 22 years ago. So I was having a really hard time and felt like I was into this, in spiritual warfare and not winning. Like, you ever feel like you're in spiritual warfare and it's not going good? And so I was just like, oh, this is not going good. And so I got up and I turned the television on. And then E.V. Hill, great, great preacher, is no longer with us because now he's dancing on the streets of gold. But he preached an entire 45 minutes on In the Beginning, God. It was just, it was genius. It was just, it was past genius, past anything I could ever teach. But he was just like, he's just so clear. And what it comes down to is, it's not Buddha, it's not Muhammad, it's not Krishna, it's not matters, math, science, molecules, atoms, oxygen, or anything else. It's God. God is the agency that creates everything. And I mean everything. You know, we were trying to say that the devil came out of that whole thing. Yes, God allowed that creation to take place and then has been using the devil as his flunky ever since. This is the thing. God, he might not be Jewish, but he doesn't waste much. So that's a little bit of a prop for him on the Jewish side of things. Here's the bottom line. In the beginning, God. You come up with all the stuff. You say that line to yourself in the middle of all your struggles and you'll be like going, wait, there's hope. Why? Because God is in the beginning. It's not God's in the beginning and then it disappears forever. That's wrong. It just starts with God. And whatever you're going through, your answer for life, your answer for light over darkness is God. So some of you are going through darkness. I mean darkness in your life. Your circumstances are dark. Your situation is dark. Your spirit feels dark. You're down. It's not bizarro weirdo. It's difficult. Doesn't happen every day, but it happens. Here's your answer, the same answer that God gave darkness in the very beginning. In the beginning, God. God is your answer. God is your answer to break that which is formless and empty. God is your answer to break that which is clothed in darkness. God is the answer to break all of those things and bring light into play where darkness has been prevailing. In the beginning, God. And God is the one that brought all of these things for the benefit of mankind. No, you don't deserve it. Yes, you can access it. The way to get to the highest point is to get on your knees at the lowest point and seek your help from him. He's your answer to the darkness. All right, we'll take a break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There is this pursuit in people to find happiness, and we've just been revving up and going through the one person who had the capacity, who had the resources to do whatever he wanted to do in order to find happiness. We find out that as Solomon, who writes the book of Ecclesiastes, tells us, he tells us all these different things that he tries. What he's seeking to do is find what is something that drives men, what is something that drives women, what is something that drives children, people, humanity, to just keep going when everything seems vain and everything seems meaningless or everything seems frustrating. And so he goes through, because his resources are unlimited, if you'll keep that in mind, he goes through a whole litany of things. He goes through searching in through knowledge and wisdom, talks about that in Ecclesiastes 1:12-14, finds out that's not the answer. He does it in partying and drinking wine. I lived in Temecula, it's wine country, part of wine country in California. Solomon had more wine than these people could ever dream of. He talks about that in Ecclesiastes 2:1-3. He talks about building a house, personal accomplishments, doing a garden. He had artistic works involved. Everything you can imagine Solomon was doing. I mean, he was doing it all. He's creating gardens. He had amassed a ton of wealth. He had high levels of entertainment. He had male and female singers. The guy had more sex than any person could ever even imagine. And he had superiority and control. And he gets to Ecclesiastes 2. And when he gets to Ecclesiastes 2:10-11, he says, "When I surveyed all that my hands had done and had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He could not reach the level of satisfaction that he was searching for. That was his conclusion. He poured resources. He did a lot of stuff. So he gives two hints, two declarations, I should say, not really hints, to help us understand what is the answer to pursuing happiness. Ready? Here it is. I'm telling you, this is the biblical answer. There's no other. Here it is. Ecclesiastes 2:24-26a. "A person can do nothing better than to eat, drink, and find satisfaction in their toil. This too I see is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases God, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness." The answer, Solomon said, is God has to give it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 12-13. "I know there's nothing better for people than to be happy and to do good while they live, that each of them may eat and drink and find satisfaction in their toil. This is a gift from God."
If Jesus.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Got our last trivia question. By the way, we are going to do our history, just letting Jacob know that ahead of time. Here is your last trivia question. Whom did Jesus commend for having the greatest faith in Israel? Was it Peter's mother-in-law, a centurion in Capernaum, or a man who canceled his health insurance? Who did Jesus commend for having the greatest faith in Israel? Was it Peter's mother-in-law, a centurion in Capernaum, or a man who canceled his health insurance? If you think you know the answer to who Jesus commended, who had the greatest faith, you can call 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. In the meantime, we're going to do history.
Let's go live in the past.
All right, so a couple things that are relatively not important, but still nonetheless semi-important. Does that matter? Not really, is it? This is kind of weird, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Today is the National Pie in the Face Day. This is actually where the Pie in the Face Day had the first routine ever on television, and then it became a thing. Isn't that amazing?
That's cool because it has a little bit of, like, I guess, meaning to the day, not just a random day being pie to the face.
No, it's pie to the face day.
It has some history to it.
It's got a little bit of history to it. It's also, by the way, National Jukebox Day. That's before there was all the musical little instruments. We used to have jukeboxes back in the day. That was kind of fun. Also, on this day, Barry Sanders. Yeah, there's a little Lions thing here. 1997, on this day, became the NFL's second all-time leading rusher, but the only one to do most of his yards sideways. Did you like that one?
Yeah, that's funny. It's unfortunate he never won a Super Bowl.
Yeah,
with how good he was.
He was anybody that could carry the Lions to anything ever deserved a medal. That's all. Okay. All right, let's go back to the trivia question. We're not going to spend a lot of time. I got too much to do. Whom did Jesus commend for having great faith? He said, I've not found such great faith in all of Israel. Who was it? Was it Peter's mother-in-law, a centurion in Capernaum, or a man who had canceled his health insurance? That's right. That's what the book says. The book's about 10 years old. No point getting upset about it. If you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. I will not only be using this book, but I will be incorporating some of the things in this book because I think some of those answers are pretty funny. Back to our text as we wind it down. In the beginning, God created, which again is another important element, and that is, in the beginning, God created. So if you want it, we're not going to do it because I can't spend 20 years doing this book that I'm aware of, but the first thing that God is seen doing is creating. It's amazing how good man is at destroying, but God does his thing by creating. God is a giver of life, a creator of life, a sustainer of life. So he creates the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was empty, a formless mass cloaked in darkness, and the Spirit of God was hovering over its surface. For some of you, you are like that emptiness, and you need the Spirit of God instead of hovering over you to hover in you. So for those that do not believe it, which I find to be amazing, you can just read Luke chapter 11, verse 13, where Jesus said, will the Father not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? If you are lacking in your engagement with the Holy Spirit, ask God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ for more of the Holy Spirit. Like, well, is that biblical? Well, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:18, be filled with the Spirit, which absolutely communicates that people can operate not being filled. That's just, you can't get away from it. And sometimes in Ephesians 4:30, it says we grieve the Spirit. Hey, when you grieve the Spirit, there's not as much of the Spirit around. It's not complex. Not only that, and by the way, grieve means to make sad. But then in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, it says, don't quench the Spirit, which is to cut off the Spirit's flow. Some of you are like in a darkness, and you need more of the Holy Spirit in you. Because the Spirit of life gives life and breath and everything. We'll get into the Job passage later on. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that it was good. He separated the light from darkness. God called the light day and the darkness night. Together, these made up one day. Of all the things that we get in this teaching, we need to catch that the first thing that God did in his differential was create light and separate it from darkness and make the declaration, light is good. The day is good. It's a good thing. What people miss is that God said, let there be light, and there was light. He didn't put together protons. He didn't put together molecules and atoms and coordinate them in such a way as to create some kind of reflection. He simply spoke, and by his word, light manifested. This is why you hear me say when you pray, man, all you ever need from God is a yes. You don't need anything. God just says, yes, it's over. Now, what I want you and I to get, which I have a hard time getting, is that God spoke and there was light, but I'm struggling believing he can help me with a bank account. Do you realize how stupid I sound when I say that? I'm being honest. Or I have this relationship issue. Or I have this tension in this thing. And then I pray, and I'm like, gee, I mean, I know God can, I think, but gosh, will he? And, and this is the God who created light. And it's like, who you think you're dealing with, Dave? But you don't understand. I say to myself, you don't understand. This situation is so hard. It's so impossible. Really? Bigger than creating the universe? Well, not that big. There you go. The problem is we all think it's our universe, so we all function in that small-mindedness. God saw that the light was good. You know what that means? God wants it to be good. Can you just, you don't have to be a genius, you don't have to be a theologian. God doesn't want it to be bad. He wants it to be good. I know, Dave, but this situation for me, my perspective is it seems bad. Well, do yourself a favor, partner with God, and recognize that in your partnership with God, God has this capacity, propensity, and desire to make everything good, since all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. That's what he does. He makes it good. How can he make it good? I don't know. He never tells me how he does it. He just does it. Get that? All right. In regards to the trivia question, I think that was pretty straightforward. Who did Jesus commend for having the greatest faith in Israel? Was it Peter's mother-in-law, a centurion in Capernaum, or a man who canceled his health insurance? And the answer is it was the centurion in Capernaum. He had not found such great faith, no, all of Israel. We'll take our break for the day. Come back tomorrow. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.